As you can imagine, in presenting a food program like RN First Bite, we are bombarded with offers of interviews with chefs who are keen to spruik their latest book of recipes. But I have to say, it's not often that the story of a book begins 35 years ago. It connects two countries, one cuisine, and three sisters who grew up as second-generation migrants in a small Australian country town before the Second World War. The original Lebanese cookbook was first printed in 1978 and From a Mother's Kitchen becomes a glorious expose of the influences and ingredients that go into one of the great cuisines of the Middle East. It's a cuisine, the Lebanese cuisine, that is now firmly embedded in our national diet. 35 years on, the book has been reinvigorated with stunning photographs, and one of the three sisters who wrote this book also happens to be the first Lebanese radio disc jockey to play top 40 across the airwaves of Beirut. Elaine Anthony, welcome to RN First Bite.
Thank you so much, Michael, for that wonderful introduction. Now I don't know how I'm going to carry on from there.
Well, let's see if you can do your best, because I know, Elaine, you were born in Australia, but where were you when you started to put this book together with your sisters Dawn and Selwa?
I had married and was settled in Lebanon. My sister Selwa thought it would be a good idea, and I went around to my aunts, who were supposed to be the best cooks in Beirut, and I authenticated a lot of the recipes that my mother used to cook, and also got variations of those recipes as well. For example, the basic traditional dish, which is kibbe, ground meat and ground wheat. You have fried versions, you have baked versions, you have stuffed versions, but let's say in the mountains, they would actually put more spicy taste than the Beirut cook.
Because in some ways Lebanon is the great melting pot, isn't it, of influences from not only the Middle East, the Far East, but also Europe. It was one of those great hubs for trade and, let's face it, invasion too.
Certainly, yes. There's a very, very strong influence of Turkish cuisine, because Turkey was actually controlling Lebanon for about 300 to 400 years. So that's quite a big influence it has, their cuisine. The French, Lebanon was their mandate for quite some years, and so you've got the French influence. Italian is also, Egyptian cuisine also. But what is beautiful about the Lebanese cuisine, they've taken these recipes and just added them to theirs, which is really very interesting.
So back to Australia for a moment. As someone who was born in Australia of first-generation parents, mum and dad, who I know met in Australia but were, I think, from the same village, weren't they?
That's right, yes.
Yes. So you grew up in Cowra, in country New South Wales.
That's right.
What was it like for your mother trying to cook Lebanese food traditionally in a kitchen in an Australian country town before the Second World War?
She managed quite well, but she used her imagination. For example, at the time, something like tahini wasn't even a known thing in Australia. We use it a most beautiful sauce for baked fish. It's called taratur, and this is just a little bit of garlic and salt and pepper and lemon juice with the tahini made into a sauce. So what did she do? There was no tahini. What she did was she got peanut butter and did the same recipe.
So, Elaine, just explain what the rituals are around food and hospitality in the Lebanese way, because it's a very strong tradition when it comes to welcoming people in and then certain order to the food, isn't there? I'm thinking about the mezza.
Oh, well, the mezza is what you'll find in a Lebanese restaurant. At home, not really. You don't have the mezza at home.
Right.
It's what the Lebanese restaurants are famous for, their mezza. You go there to spend the evening, and slowly the dishes come in, and then you're also, if you want to have alcohol, you just have the arak, which is the famous Lebanese arak, which is made from grapes.
And flavoured with aniseed as well, isn't it?
Flavoured with aniseed.
So you would get olives, I take it.
Oh, you get olives and labni and baba ghanoush, which is eggplant and tahini mixed together, tabbouleh, and always different kinds of olives. Lebanon is famous for its olives and its olive oil. And of course, you know, they would give you like shish kebab, you know, a small plate of shish kebab, a small plate of a lamb, a barbecued lamb. That's the way the mezza would be. Lebanese don't really eat very much red meat. Red meat is only for the kibbeh. and like those other little kebabs and things like that. But in general, the typical Lebanese diet has much more vegetables and lentils and dried beans, that kind of thing, legumes, and a lot of greens, a lot of green. I mean, they use anything that's green, they take it from the ground and cook it. It's just unbelievable.
Mm. So how many of these gorgeous recipes would you have been eating around the table in Cowra and Sydney when your parents moved to Sydney?
Yeah, the sweets, very, very little of the sweets, actually. The Lebanese sweets in general are not that easy to make. Like the baklawa and the varied versions of baklawa, right?
Yes.
Very difficult to make. My mother would know how to make the Easter cake, which is a, they are little cakes that are stuffed with almonds or stuffed with the walnuts and sugar. They are usually eaten only at Easter time. In general, Lebanese, even in Lebanon now, today, you don't have a sweet after your meal.
You might have fresh fruit.
Fresh fruit, that's it. The sweets are for when people come to visit. You offer that to them with a cup of coffee. It's like an afternoon tea or something like that.
Well, speaking of fruits, can I say that the cover of this book is the first thing that arrests your eye. By the way, my guest is Elaine Anthony, one of the three sisters who first wrote this book back in 1977, published in 78, and now we're seeing a new version in 2013. But the front cover has the most extraordinary photo of a pomegranate that has been split open at the front, and then there's a whole fruit behind. And there's an incredible story in relation to the colour of pomegranate that goes way back in Lebanese tradition.
Yes, the Tyrian purple is the same colour as the pomegranate. It dates back to the coloured dye that's called the Tyrian purple, first used by the Phoenicians as early as 1600 BC. And it comes, this colour was invented by the inhabitants of the ancient city of Tyre, which is located around about 80 kilometres from Beirut.
And where that saying, which I think has gone global, it might be an old one now, but of being in the purple, that whole sense of everything going well, you're facing prosperity.
Yes. Well, the colour of purple was only worn by royal personages and selected wealthy persons to indicate their social class.
Well, in this case, I think the purple is deservedly worn on the front of your cookbook. Elaine, just explain to people what you were doing in Lebanon, apart from authenticating recipes for your two other sisters who co-wrote the book with you. You were there for another reason as well. I mean, you fell in love. That's one of them, let's be honest. And you married a man in the old home country. But you were also on the radio there, weren't you?
Yes, I joined Radio Lebanon in the mid-60s.
And what were you doing on Radio Lebanon?
Well, they told me that I needed to give them an original idea. And so I thought to myself, they don't have a top 10. I'd just come from Australia and there was a top 10 going on there. I thought, they don't have a top 10, why don't I do one? And that's what happened. That's how it was born, the idea. So I became the very first disc jockey in Lebanon.
That is fantastic. And what was your name on the radio?
Yes, because my surname, married name, is Jahar, so I called myself Elaine J. Elaine J with you all the way.
That is great. And Elaine, it's been an absolute pleasure to talk to you about your family and your life and the food that has been bound up in both those things. And I'd like to finish with you. You do your thing as Elaine J, as if you're on Radio Lebanon, and I'll shut up.
Okay, all right.
Here we go.
Okay. Hey, here's a golden oldie for you. Way back in 1968, it topped the British charts as well as number one in 17 other countries. Barry Ryan and Eloise.
Thanks, Elaine.
My Eloise is like the stars that please the night, the sun that makes the day, that lights the way.
The original Lebanese cookbook is published by Allen and Unwin, and from it, Elaine Anthony has given us a recipe for grapevine leaf rolls, known in other parts of the world as dolmas or dolmades. And there's a beautiful photo that goes with it too on the RN First Bite website. You can find us after entering the haiku competition on the RN front page, and then you head to iTunes to podcast us. It's all very simple, really. Big thank yous to Melissa May for technical production and my guest producer, come overlord, Amanda Smith. My name's Michael McKenzie, and next time, the story of how meeting a scruffy middle-aged man at the Tokyo subway led to a wondrous journey into Japanese food. I'll talk to you then.